From the First Midwest Bank State Street Studio, the home of the Chicago White Sox, this is WMVP WSHE HD2 Chicago.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000 and now on FM at 100.3 HD2.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
Been a very interesting show. Charles Barkley joined us earlier in the show. He had some really strong thoughts on what Scottie Pippen is doing, and he's talked about that in the past with us and with other shows, but he really thinks that Michael will never talk to him again. It's interesting to hear what Wilbon has to say. We'll play you some of that at about 5:30.
Chuck has firsthand experience with how Mike can hold a grudge.
And again, it was... And
they innocuous.
Were and they were best friends.
Yeah.
Like, Scottie and Michael have never been best friends. Charles and Michael were two peas in a pod. And they would go places together. And all he was doing was saying, hey, one of the issues with him as an owner is too many people say yes to him.
Yep.
And they don't want to tell him no. And it was a good constructive thought from a basketball analyst. And that was it. And we know the legendary fallout from that. We've talked about that with Michael Wilbon. Let's bring him in, and then we'll get to the modern-day Bulls. Michael joins us on the Corona Hotline. He's brought to you by Waddle's Guys.
At HawkAuto.com, Ford, Chevy, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Subaru, Cadillac, Mazda, and VW, all in one place. HawkAuto.com, where Chicagoland saves big.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody? Guess what today is?
It's Wilbon Day.
Woo-hoo!
Chicago native Michael Wilbon, host of Pardon the Interruption with Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN Chicago.
So, yeah, Michael, Charles joined us. I know how much you talked to Charles, how close you guys are. And he really was, you know, just he doesn't understand why Scottie's doing this, and he thinks that Michael won't talk to him again. Do you agree?
I don't know about not talking again. I'm not going to try to speculate on that. It makes me sad that joyous time, not just for the town, but for the people who created the joyous time, the players, the team. Scottie created, he was co-author of those great times. And I just fear he's not enjoying it. It doesn't seem like he is. I hope I'm wrong about that. I hope that there's still some great enjoyment out of that. That's the greatest period of winning in the history of Chicago. I mean, I think the Bears had the single greatest team in the history of, certainly in the modern history of sports, post-World War II with the 85 team. But the Bears, there's no question that run of six championships in 8 years, that's the greatest extended period of winning, the most glamorous period of winning. And Scottie wasn't incidental to that. He was front and center to that. And it just seems like he's not enjoying it. I wish I could talk to him. I don't know that I could change anything or do any good. Everybody thinks they can do some good. But as I've said, and I don't have anything new to add to it, I think that Scottie Pippen is the most underrated player of his time. Scottie Pippen, and, you know, that would be since Elvin Hayes. If you ask me, name the three most underrated players in the history of the NBA, Elvin Hayes and Scottie Pippen are going to be on my list. So Scottie's on it, but I don't think Michael had anything to do with that. And I would like to ask Scottie, what is it that makes you think that Michael had something to do with your being underrated or your being underappreciated? Because I never spent any time talking to Michael where he said to me, we blew Scottie off. I never got that. I was never on the listening end of that. So I don't have any insight beyond that. I don't know. I mean, Scottie feels he's heard about this. He feels that he's been shunned. And I again, if people did that, let's say they did. I was never aware of Michael Jordan doing that. Now, does Michael, like, owe anybody else more in a documentary about essentially him? I don't know. I mean, I guess we could get into that. I guess other members of the team, you know, could have been upset, could be upset. That's for them to decide. It brought too much joy. And now it just seems like a I don't know, a tool to sort of bring the whole thing down. I'm not with that. I'm not down with that. It brought me with too much joy. I was supposed to be unbiased, you know, figure covering it in some great neutrality, which I wasn't. And so if I loved it, I'm hoping these guys, and I hope Scotty, no matter what else has been going on, what else has been said, I hope Scotty Pippen can enjoy this. I really do.
Michael, I brought this two comps up to Waddle the other day after watching the Drew Bledsoe role in the Tom Brady documentary on ESPN+. It was very good, the first episode. Drew Bledsoe, as hurt as he was, as much as it stung him to not be a part of that Patriots team as the everyday quarterback and could have won multiple Super Bowls if he wouldn't have gotten hurt, and then the way Tom Brady turned into the GOAT, he is still gracious, he is still cool with Tom Brady. And he wasn't a part of winning like Scottie Pippen was, being on the greatest team. Doug Collins is another one, someone that you know very well, someone that we love, Waddle and me, who we respect a great deal, one of the great basketball minds ever. Who developed Michael Scottie Horace. That team was ready to win, and they decided to part ways with Doug, and Phil ends up winning 6 championships and was essentially in the right place at the right time. So that's another guy who you would look at and say, there's a guy who could be bitter. He chooses not to be. He doesn't say degrade anybody, but here's a guy who's a part of the winning, was included in all of that, was given his due, is loved by the city, and yet could not be more unhappy.
Yeah. I'm everybody has their own way of handling these things. I know how my personality is. I would have been bitter. I'd try to kill people. I mean, I'm a bad loser. I am. I'm a bad loser in recreational golf and tennis now as a grown man. So I'm not going to try to say everybody should handle it the same way. I mean, Bledsoe, yes, had his, you know, handled it his way. I'm okay with people handling things differently. I hate to see this because that's, to me, the greatest. It's the greatest duo, I guess you could say, Russell and Cousy. I don't know if they won 6. I guess they did. Just the two of them. But Michael and Scotty are the greatest duo in basketball history, arguably. I mean, yeah, you could say Magic and Kareem. Kobe and Shaq didn't win as many, and that's because they couldn't get they couldn't get along in real time. Right? Kobe and Shaq could not get along well enough in real time to stay together.
Public. Yeah.
And so Michael and Scottie did, and it's just too bad, man. I never thought anything would sort of be a downer as it pertains to those Bulls teams. And this now seems to have a whiff of that. And I don't know. It's 35 years. How many years are we going to go with this? And by the way, Scotty has every right to write what he wants, to feel how he needs to feel about this. And people can either turn thumbs up or thumbs down. I get that. But, you know, having been there in real time for a lot of it, I feel badly now. I feel bad for Scotty because I don't know what. I mean, the reaction. And look, again, I need to remind people. I mean, I worked. My first job at ESPN covering basketball was with Scotty and Dan Patrick. My first job at ESPN covering basketball was working with Scotty Pippen, who couldn't have been nicer to me, professionally and personally. Could not have been. And so I
did you have any Mike, did you have any hints back then that he felt this way, or these aren't feelings he would have conveyed to you?
Maybe not to this extent.
Is he still there?
I knew that that was a fair characterization of Scotty. Mm-hmm. And I knew there were episodes that bothered him and parts of criticism. Look, I did this on the air, so I'm not going to get revisions. I apologize to Scotty for things I wrote. I thought I was too harsh at the time when I look back at criticisms. I'm not talking about the 1.8 seconds. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about just a general characterization. Like a lot of people in mainstream media at the time, when I look back on it, think I was too harsh. And I've said that privately. I've said it publicly. But so I'm not, this is not the greatest shock in the world that reliving all this would be difficult for him. But once again, I'm going to say this. I don't know. I don't personally know of Michael's role in this. I mean, Michael Jordan never went to the columnists of the day out of town, and we were the opinion makers. There were no hot takes on TV. They didn't even have any of these shows. I mean, the columnists often set the agenda, and I never had a conversation with Michael slam shut the door and say, you guys are being too nice to Scottie, you should rip him. I never had that. Brian Burwell, writing for USA Today, you guys could ask Sam. I don't believe Sam had experiences like that. Now, people might have inferred, but I didn't have that. And it didn't mean that they were best friends. I heard you say that. They didn't have to be best friends. I mean, Wes Unseld and Elvin Hayes went to the finals like three times at least. They weren't best friends. They weren't even friends. And you've got a lot of those. We just talked about Shaq and Kobe. So I don't know. I would like to just sit with Scottie, even if it's privately, and just say, what is it like? Is Michael to blame specifically for what you perceive fairly by my calculations are being underrated and underappreciated? I believe those things. I don't understand the role that Scottie has assigned Michael Jordan in those things being reality.
To brighten the conversation, Jordan Pippen, the greatest Bulls duo until DeRozan and LaVine. How excited are you?
You're saying they've overtaken them.
Yeah. And the next greatest duo would be Love and Walker. And the next greatest duo would be Sloan and
Valier. I was just trying to lighten the mood. I was just trying to go into a better place.
I can do it that way, too, by talking about how great those guys were. But, yeah, listen, this has been terrific. You know, not counting last night, which was the first time I've been angry at these Bulls.
I was going to ask
blowing a 20-point lead in Portland. And that's going to happen. You know, Matthew texted me. I'm in Chicago now. He was at home in Washington. And he texted me and said, Dad, they look so great. I'm like, Maddie, this is the kind of game they're going to blow. I just felt it for some reason. And you got to learn those lessons. And I literally loved what LaVine and DeRozan, and particularly LaVine, said after that game. You know, they were hard on themselves. They didn't take the well. You know, we're still 2-2 on the road. They didn't do that. I thought that was a real positive step. You know, you have to learn that lesson the hard way, but you have to learn it 4 or 5 times. That was a bad loss last night. And they were right to call it a bad loss. You want to win that game and assure yourself a winning trip, a road trip out west, which is difficult always for the Bulls, no matter what duo was playing for them. So I was annoyed at that. I'm still annoyed. But I'm fired up not for the Denver game, which I don't really see as a game they can win, but I'm fired up for the Knicks here on Sunday night, a game I'm going to attend.
All right, yeah, I can't wait. That's we were just talking about that a couple segments ago. All right, hang in there. I want to bring something up about what you said about being angry at the Bulls last night and compare it to how I felt. 312-332-3776. Michael Wilbon continues to join us next.
Miss a show? All your faves ready and waiting on the ESPN Chicago app.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Michael Wilbon continues to join us Thursdays now at 5 o'clock. It's on the Corona Hotline. I felt, maybe it's just me, but like the Sixers back-to-back, I was more disappointed in because I felt like they didn't show up much in either of those games and they were chasing for much of each game. And I felt like this game, they had a bad half, you know, and they came out well and they played well for the most part on this trip after Golden State. But I don't know if I'm just falling too much in love with them, Michael, but I sort of didn't feel as bad about this game that I felt the way they played against Philly.
You know what, Sylvie, I'm with you for different reasons. You're going to have clunkers. You are just going to have games in which you come out and you put lay the wood to somebody and you don't sustain it. It's going to happen. In 82 basketball games, it is going to happen. I don't care who you are. Hell, the Michael Scottie Bulls did that a time or two. You know, lost at Toronto. Now, this wasn't the case of a bad team. this is a case, actually, you know, one of the reasons I felt that they could still lose that game, and I told Matthew that, because Dame Lillard can get hot at any time and beat anybody. I mean, he has thrown James Harden out of the playoffs. He has thrown Russell Westbrook out of the playoffs. If he can throw those guys at the height of their careers out of the playoffs, he can beat the Bulls on a given night in Portland. So, I'm annoyed, but not for real. I mean, this is what happens. I mean, this is the NBA. You're not going to win the games that it appears even you should win or you have won. And that was one last night. You just got to minimize those. You can't have that happening every week.
Disheartened at all, Mike? I was going to say, are you disheartened at all? Or I mean, I get it. It's a very, very small sample size, but Coby White looked lost out there.
Well, he's going to look lost if he hadn't had a training camp and done anything.
What are your expectations for him this year?
I mean, learn how to play off these guys. I mean, when you look, one of the things we've seen about Wiggins in Golden State is that you don't have enough defenders to guard all the people on Golden State. And so instead of being the best player on Minnesota, which meant nothing, Wiggins is now like the third or fourth best player or option at a given time on the court for Golden State. Who can guard him? What, you're gonna put special attention on him while Steph Curry's on the floor? While Draymond Green's on the floor? While Poole is on the floor? You can't do it. So this is where Coby White comes in. You can't guard DeMar DeRozan and Zach LaVine and Lonzo Ball and Coby White. Now, I don't know how much he's gonna be on the floor with those guys, but there aren't enough great defenders to do that. And Coby White's not a great offensive player yet, but I tell you what, he's shooting north of 35% on his threes. So he needs to be able to take advantage of playing with better players. These are the best players he will have played with. And they're wings at a time where wing players are really the most important guys on the floor. They can get him the ball, whether it's DeRozan getting him the ball or Lonzo getting him the ball. I mean, he should be able to really be an efficient, if not prolific, player offensively. And then you see, if you can't do that, then you look at whatever you look at the trading deadline. You say, okay, what do we need? The Bulls need some size. I don't know. And I don't want to get rid of Coby White. I'm not saying that. I like Coby White. But he's got to find a niche. And that helps that team, that they can depend on him to find night after night after night, like Caruso. Caruso played 34 minutes one night and didn't score. And he was unbelievably valuable that night.
Yes.
It was either the Clippers or the Lakers. And so, I mean, you know, Coby White's got to, you know, play and get comfortable and find himself. But he's got to find a niche where maybe he gets that three-point shooting up to 40, 41%. And then you see a value in him that is going to make that team even better.
Michael, it's like every week of this season, I've sort of been on another player's bandwagon. Like, right when they opened, I'm like, wow, DeMar DeRozan looks like Toronto DeMar DeRozan. And then it was like, hey, this is awesome the way they're playing together with Zach and DeRozan. And then, oh, look at the love that Caruso is getting. I think I asked you about Caruso last week versus the role that Derrick Rose would have. This week, and I've appreciated him the entire time, but you just see more body of work, is what Lonzo has turned himself into, especially shooting. Like, and I knew he was a good defensive player, and I knew he had good vision, but, like, he's a great defensive player, and he could pass. And then now that he's hitting these threes, like, I've just, on this trip, have really, I don't think he's getting the love yet here that he probably should be getting.
Really, because he's getting it around the league. He's getting it from other players. I mean, Tim Hardaway Jr., who has Chicago roots, of course, talked about that very thing after, you know, the Bulls beat the Mavericks. And Lonzo, man, he looks good. I mean, he looks real. You know, defensively, yes, but this is the second time he's hit seven threes, right, in a game?
He's seven of ten twice in a week.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, seriously, I'm sitting there with Stephen A. last night. And he says, oh, I got to see some more. I'm like, dude, there's a lot of dudes in the league that haven't hit 7 out of 10 from three-point range twice. A guy who was supposed to be a bad shooter.
Yes.
A guy who was said to be, oh, by the time he gets to his eighth or ninth year, maybe he can do what Jason Kidd does. He ain't in his eighth or ninth year yet. and he's already made himself an asset there. So, yeah, I'm with you guys on all those elements. It's like you keep, you know, unwrapping a present every night with them. And it's going to be hard because they're going to become the hunted. Teams are going to say, okay, wait a minute. Here's what DeRozan was never really good at. Or here's what Caruso doesn't do well. And the reason why he's been a sixth or seventh or eighth man. And they're going to – teams are going to – look, the other guys get paid to scout. And they're going to find things that they think the Bulls are not quite as good at. And it's going to be to the Bulls to counter that. That's why Coby White is so important, because you have, you know, gives Billy Donovan potentially some answers, you know, when teams counter what his guys are doing. But Zach and DeRozan, they're playing so well off each other that I think it's going to be real hard, no matter how good defensively teams are, to sort of take that away. And I think the Bulls were overmatched against Golden State, and that was the first game without Vooch, and there was some circumstances there that I want to see, you know, when they do have a rematch in Chicago. I think it's in late January, if people are healthy. But yeah, man, there's so much good stuff. I refuse to even get bogged down in the Bears drama this week.
I was gonna ask you, Mike, did you miss our Bears last Sunday, or did you get a much needed break from our favorite team?
No, we had the Bulls on Sunday and Monday.
Okay. Yeah.
So what the hell with the Bears? I mean, and I don't mean the individual players. I don't mean that. I'm not going to be one of those fans in a town where, like, I have lived for 40 years in Washington, D.C., where no matter what was going on, the Capitals could be on their way toward being in the Stanley Cup final, and people just want to deal with the Washington football team. I'm like, sorry, I'm not that guy. Of course, I'm going to Bears Ravens Sunday. I got a four event weekend.
Ooh.
Northwestern Purdue at Wrigley on Saturday. I've got the Bears and Ravens on Sunday. Or I guess three events, and I've got Knicks Bulls on Sunday night. So I'm in it. But I'm not going to be a lapdog for the NFL or whatever's going on.
He's going to be peeling jerseys off like some sort of superhero.
Are you
going to
triple jersey it, and then, like, after the Northwestern game, you take off the Northwestern jersey, and then there's your Butkus jersey.
Yeah.
And then underneath your Butkus jersey is a Norm Van Leer jersey.
That's right. That's exactly what – I mean, I'm really excited about Sunday night. And just seeing it in person, being back in there again. So yeah, man, I'm fired up, but I don't trust the Bears against this defense, against the Ravens. The Ravens don't play two bad games in a row. Now, I know that Lamar has missed, I think, consecutive practices.
That's got
to be concerning for the Ravens staff. They don't play two bad games in a row.
Well, here to that narrative, Mike. John Harbaugh, I know this. They're not coming off a bye, but they have extra rest. John Harbaugh's 10-4 coming off a bye. We haven't won a game in Chicago since, 7 years coming off a bye, including the last 4 years.
Oh, my God. Are you serious?
Seven straight years coming off the
bye.
That
goes back to Tressman and Fox and... Mm.
So, yes, I mean, like... John Harbaugh is definitely going to – look, I don't think this Ravens team's a world beater, but he's definitely going to have them a little bit more tuned up than they were for that Thursday nighter in Miami.
Yeah. There's no great team in the NFL this year.
Yeah.
Just like
point.
I don't think there's a great team in the NBA this year. And I think it makes each league interesting, fascinating in a different way. But, I got to do my confidence pool. And I got to go back and look at that.
You're giving the Ravens a big number in your confidence pool?
Double digit.
Wow.
How can you not? I mean, that's one of so.
Not really only that, how about the other stat that, like, when the Bears are 4.5-point favorites or more, or 5-point favorite, or excuse me, underdogs or more, they're like 1 in 100 million. I mean, like, they never they never win or cover big numbers, or they rarely do. I think they did against the Steelers, but that was an anomaly.
They really showed me something there, at least some guts.
Yeah,
they showed that. They really did. I was No moral victories. Yeah, there are. Of course there are. When you're following a bad team, there are moral victories. Not for the players, but for fans. And so I thought, you know, coming out of that game, I thought the Bears accounted pretty well of themselves. So, but this game, given that the Ravens don't play consecutive bad games, I expect them to kind of tattoo the Bears. I mean, I'm looking at a decisive Ravens victory, and the Bears historically have not ever done well against supremely athletic quarterbacks.
Michael, great stuff.
So I'm worried about that.
Yeah. All right, hopefully we'll see you this weekend, all right?
Yeah. Now, you guys going to be at Soldier Field?
I will be at Soldier Field with my two boys over the weekend. So maybe I'll text up
and we'll meet up. Figure out a way to do that. Yeah, this is an all Chicago weekend. I think the Northwestern coming off a good showing against Iowa, I think we can scare the hell out of Purdue, or maybe better. And that's going to be hard because Purdue can score. But I'm not convinced about them. I know being at Wrigley is going to juice everybody. I'm kind of excited about Saturday, and I'm certainly excited about half of Sunday. So, Sylvie, we'll have to compare some notes on the lakefront.
All right,
the lakefront, not Arlington Park.
All right, we got a guy for you, Jeff Garlin, who from Curb Your Enthusiasm doesn't want to go to Arlington either. We'll trade numbers with you two. You guys could stay on the lakefront, have a picnic.
I like that.
See you, Michael.
Thank you, Michael.
All right, be good.
There you go. There's Michael Wilbon. He's in town, too, for multiple weekends. Hopefully, I'll be able to run into him at the game. 312-332-3776. Somebody who played a lot of years in the NFL heard Waddle this morning on national radio and commented on some of the things he had to say. And is Matt Nagy on a week-to-week leash? We'll address that coming up next.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie. Watch us and join the chat. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on twitch.tv or the Twitch app.
Don't forget, tomorrow we're at Benny's Beverage Depot to celebrate a Football Friday and the start of the weekend. We're at the Benny's Beverage Depot up north in the northern burbs in Vernon Hills.
Home game.
JD is going to, home game for him too. JD is going to join us in person at 2. We'll have seats set up in the Benny's Beverage Depot for you to sit. If you want to stay for an hour, you want to stay for the whole show, be our guest. If you want to stop by, just sign up to win the Ravens-Bears tickets. You can stop by, wave hello, sign up and go. Pick up some Miller Lite on your way. Whatever, stock up for the weekend, stock up for the Thanksgiving holiday, and do whatever you like. But yes, by the end of the show, we'll be giving away Bears-Ravens tickets, and you could stop by anytime.
The Ravens!
Berman never called them that, did he? No. It was only the Raiders that way, right? The Raiders. And you could sign up for those tickets and win. It should be an interesting game, though. This is Jeff's.
Yeah,
this is Jeff Saturday. I love Jeff Saturday.
Good man.
He reminds me of
talented
you.
Player.
Very knowledgeable football analyst who loves to have fun as well.
With a couple of Super Bowl rings. Yeah, he and I.
he had a very, very good career.
Fantastic career.
Multi-year Pro Bowler, right?
Oh, yeah. Remember, he obviously was with the Colts forever, and then he went to Green Bay.
He got to play with Peyton Manning and then Aaron Rodgers. Was he?
I don't think he was in Green Bay for very long.
1 year, maybe?
I think so.
Was that it? But it wasn't bad, though.
No.
Jeff Saturday, so he's very, very funny, too. He's been very passionate, though, about Nagy and Justin Fields and has had a lot of good coverage on NFL Live and Get Up. He's been a guest on this show. He tweeted you out of the blue this morning. I noticed it. He says, hey, Waddle, listen to you on KJM this morning. Really well done. Question.
Thanks, Jeff.
That surprised me the most.
Sure did.
No, I just gave you a compliment, too. You guys are great analysts. Question, is the best-case scenario that Fields gets better but the Bears lose? And then he talked about being in draft purgatory again, but, of course, the Bears don't have a first-round pick, but it would up their other picks. But, like, I think his general premise and question still stands. It's what we if we do want change, and Hoodie was talking about it. Can they be separate? Like, does a big leap in these last several games for the Bears offensively go in the back pocket for Nagy though, or can Fields have a big leap in these next several games and Nagy still gets tossed and they still decide?
I think anything's possible at this point. I think that the common ground for myself and Jeff Saturday and others is that the most important component here in Chicago is the development of Fields. Because I don't know anyone who truly believes that this team is a legitimate contender. We can sit here and play the games about their 3-6. Can they get there? Think about it. To get to the postseason, even as the seventh seed, you probably got to be 9-8, right? That means you've got to be 6-2 over the next 8 weeks. Do you see 6 wins for this team with some of the issues that they have? So my answer to my own question is no. So my point was that, look, at the end of the day, the most important issue here is the development of this quarterback in 2021. And when Jeff was talking about the draft picks, yeah, we don't have a 2022, but the issue here, as you mentioned, is it's not so much about that, which would be nice, is if you do creep close to 500, the likelihood that you're going to get the systemic change that you want up at Hallis Hall becomes less likely. Now, we can sit around and say, yeah, but they can see the forest through the trees. Really?
No, they can. They can't see any forest.
Right.
They can't see the forest when it smacks them in the face.
So, like,
is that a saying?
We'll use it. It's the Waddle and Sylvie saying. So the point is like, look, I never cheer for my team to lose. But when Jeff asks the question, minus the draft pick, issue, what is the best thing for this team? I'm not cheering for them to lose. But if you, what would be the best thing for them to? Or you could argue with me, they go 8-0. And magically, they change the narrative up at Hallis Hall. Again, the likelihood of that happening is,
Matt Nagy finds a magic pill.
If this team, let's say this team finds a way, what are they through? What did I say? They're 3-6 right
three
now?
3-6.
Let's say they get to 10-7. That means they'd have to go 7-1. If they go 7-1, the coaching staff did a really good job.
Yes. If they go 7-1 in the second half of the season, it's the opposite of what happened to Lovie.
Yes.
It's
and then it's going to be
if it's Justin Fields trending up.
And it's going to be because they've done it better. Look, go even back to the Pittsburgh game, and I'm not in the business of defending this coaching staff because I think that they've done a lot of things wrong. But if you go back and watch that game again, they've done some better things to help him out. They're still running the football. I think that they've done a much better job, and the players deserve credit for it as well, creating a sounder pocket. Like, they've done a better job. Will it equate to them going on some sort of mystical run? I don't think so. But, again, at the end of this 2021 season, what's most important to me is that the young man continues to grow and has us all believing strongly that not only is he the answer for the foreseeable future, but he's a legitimate difference maker and will possibly take you to the top of the mountain when you fill in the blanks around him.
There's still some whispers on Twitter from whoever. Nobody, as far as insiders are concerned, saying that maybe there's some chatter about if it's bad this week, out of the bye, he could be on a week-to-week thing where maybe they pull the plug before the end of the year. I will be pissed off this weekend if they don't pick up where they left off after Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
I'm not telling you they're going to score 21 points in the first half. But if they struggle offensively from the get-go, they design the first 15, they come out of the gate, they have a bad first possession, and if we continue to see the timeout after a false start or, delay, all the stuff that we saw in the first half, okay? We thought, I want this to be a changing moment for Justin Fields, the second half on Monday Night Football. I want us to all say in 3 years from now, it all changed for him. The light went on in the second half of the Pittsburgh game when they nearly won. He led them on that beautiful drive. He had a couple of huge throws on that drive, the Allen Robinson throw, the throw to Mooney for the touchdown. And then after that, it sort of opened up. And I know there's still going to be up and down things. There's still going to be growing pains. But
I do not want to see another step back like we've seen in some of the, like the Tampa game.
Right.
And this is not Tampa level defense, as you mentioned.
No.
I don't want to see like, the Green Bay game again. They better come out of the bye after doing some real thinking, after putting together a good second half, and they better put up some points against this Ravens defense.
You would hope so. It's a Ravens defense that gives up about 24 points per game, and despite the fact that they don't give up a lot of rushing yards per game, it's because teams choose to throw it on them, they still give up over 4.2 yards per carry. So there are ways to move the football against these Ravens. It's a good Ravens team that can do some things that make it difficult, your life difficult on you, but this isn't a Ravens team to me that you look at and go, wow, we don't, I mean, I have no hope at all.
We've not talked a ton of Bears this week as far as this game coming off the bye. 312-332-3776. As I mentioned, tomorrow's a football Friday. We'll be out at Binney's Beverage Depot in Vernon Hills. Meet us there. But if you want to talk some Bears with us, do you believe they're going to come out and have they sort of fixed the offense? Do you believe we'll see a continuation of the second half of the Pittsburgh game in this game against the Ravens? And did I see a space? Is that a spaceman outside? Who is that, Abdallah? Do we have a guy in a spaceman's outfit?
Yes, there is. He's from Mars, I think.
Do you see that, Lotto?
He's all red right now.
Yeah, he's walking away now.
Is he doing a photo shoot? Is this a bit? There's a guy dressed up like he's an astronaut.
Pretty said astronaut,
I think they're taking photos.
We've seen plenty of astronauts.
A little photo shoot.
Yeah. All right, so we'll take some of your phone calls coming up. I got some answers, too, on whether or not some certain foods are good driving foods or bad driving foods. I'd like to read some of those tweets coming up. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
Towers brought to you by Northwestern Football, Chicago's Big Ten team. College football returns to Wrigley Field this fall for the first time since 2010. Join Northwestern Football when they host Purdue in the Wildcats Classic. Powered by CDW and NetApp. This Saturday, tickets on sale now at Cubs.com/football.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000 and now on FM at 100.3 HD2.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
Don't forget, tomorrow is the big day. We're going back to Binney's tomorrow in Vernon Hills.
Danny Lynch
wanted a live version. That's as good as he's going to get.
You just ensure that nobody will be there.
Nobody's going to be there.
Everybody turned to Winoppo.
I don't even know what I was doing.
Hey, Winoppo.
I saw the script. I'm like, what is this in reference to?
And you looked at me, and I had no clue.
Well, I mean, like, what year is that song from Biggie's? Biggie Small.
Like mid-90s?
Mid-90s. I mean, like, I'm supposed to pull that reference in a promo for Binney's?
You were busy.
Ooh, you're aging yourself.
You were busy dancing to Duran Duran's latest
it's
CD.
It's not aging myself. That's still... how many decades ago?
It's 25 years.
I just
it's
watched the
1997.
Documentary.
1997.
Yeah. We're going back to Binney's.
I mean, you know music from the 90s.
Of course I do. But
that was a heyday. You were covering Michael and Scotty. Yeah. You were collecting things from the locker room. You're listening to
Q101 back
really
in the day.
Yeah,
but
still.
Like, Q101. The 90s for me was Smashing Pumpkins, Counting Crows, Pearl Jam, Nirvana.
So you've got a wide breadth of music knowledge.
Yeah. More than I was into alternative rock. Q101 was probably, I was driving around listening to Q101 back in the day.
Okay.
And then 94.7. But I...
You're going back.
Sing it.
No.
Sing it with it. Sing it. 1, 2, 3. We're going back to Binney's.
Why would I want to take the spotlight from you?
Vernon Hills. Yeah, right. You're just going to play the Scottie Pippen role and not bitch and moan about it, right?
Absolutely. I'm going to turn around and point the finger at you.
We're going back to Binney's.
Let me just say this right now. No offense, Matt. That's not a Michael Jordan performance.
We're going back to Binney's.
Sorry,
that's
MJ.
Michael 45
Sorry,
stuff right
MJ.
There.
That's not Michael Jordan as an owner. That's not Michael Jordan.
What about
Jordan?
Michael Jordan as a baseball player?
No. Michael Jordan is an owner. That's what that is.
All right. And then I got some tweets about, I made a comment earlier during your Waddle's World story, the nutty story of the day, involved a woman who made the excuse that her car was swerving was because she was eating egg rolls.
Right.
And they never found egg rolls. I said
she had opioids and cocaine in the car, allegedly.
Right. She just thought she'd use that excuse. Yeah. And I said on the air that I thought that egg rolls was not a good driving food. Fall of Rich says, as a guy that regularly eats egg rolls behind the wheel, it's a common item in a gas station on their roller grills, I can assure you that they're a solid driving food. I thought they would leak too much. Sometimes no egg roll would fall apart with all the stuff inside. No?
I think it was a bad excuse. You could eat an egg roll as well as you could eat anything. And,
okay.
Fries? You got fries? You got a hamburger?
Fries is easier, I would think.
How about Taco Bell? Is Taco Bell going to be difficult?
Don't people like to dip the egg roll, too, into some of the sauce? Can't dip. You get stuff on your shirt or your jacket.
Well, I don't care about anybody else. Do you like to dip?
I don't dip when I have an egg roll. I like the goodness of the egg roll plain. Just like I don't dip my fries in ketchup.
Not at all, really.
No, I don't need it.
Interesting.
Well, fries are great.
They are great.
You do what you want with it, but
amen. Yeah. Yes, sir.
Here's
going back.
Our buddy Space Bard says, once saw a dude bending over his console eating KFC during a blizzard while he drove. The whole steering wheel had to be covered with chicken grease, not to mention all the crumbs falling all over. Yeah. I think you could eat a drumstick.
Yeah.
I don't think you could pull it apart, too. I don't think that's as bad as you think.
I'm trying to think of the worst food. I'm trying to really come up with the worst food. I think ribs is probably not good because of how nasty.
Too messy.
Yeah, too messy.
Johnny and Bourbonnais, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Johnny?
Johnny!
Are you kidding me? This is so easy. How are you going to eat soup?
I'll tell you how.
You sip on it.
Yeah, you
sip it.
You eat the soup like it's a coffee.
Yeah. Yeah. What are you talking about, Johnny?
You put it in a coffee cup
and
you
sip it. I'm not using a spoon. I'm sipping my soup.
Well, so you're eating microwave soup. Okay.
Okay.
Any kind of soup. Some broth,
all right,
perhaps.
But anyway, let's think about this. Chili. You can't get the beans through the little hole. So,
chili's not a soup. Chili's just a Frank.
Yeah.
It on your shirt, it's red all day long.
What if I'm wearing a red shirt? It blends in. Johnny, I got an answer for everything.
You better be wearing a Hawaiian shirt because that's just
okay.
One strike.
Okay. You know what? When I have chili in the car, I'm wearing a Hawaiian shirt for you.
Well,
I like your laugh, Johnny.
Do they eat chili in Hawaii?
In Ohio?
In Hawaii.
Oh, Hawaii. I don't know. Yeah, I'm sure they do.
It's so warm down there. Why would you eat chili? Don't you eat chili when it's cold?
This
is good chili weather now, chili year round.
Does that mean every hot food is not on the menu in Hawaii because it's hot in Hawaii?
No, but they like Spam.
They like what?
Spam.
Spam's hot, isn't it?
Spam, you can cook it.
Yeah.
You can eat it cold. You can
sort of like a lot of it. Yeah.
Johnny, you're making a lot of turns here on this call.
Yeah,
I think it's odd to believe that
because you live in a warm climate, you can't eat hot food.
Well, you can, but why? I mean, do you?
If I'm in Alaska, do I only eat ice cream?
You eat chili in June?
I would.
Yes.
Well, of course you would. I mean, you're Tommy.
Yeah.
But I mean.
Someone's on the line who says they owe us a pizza and they do not want to pass
that
this
up. That has priority.
This is priority. Tom in Buffalo Grove, you say you owe us a pizza.
Why?
I do, but I got to say, Johnny forgot about white chili. If you spill white chili on your shirt, doesn't matter if you're wearing a white shirt.
I don't think I've ever had white chili.
It's with white beans.
Vernon Hills is my neck of the woods up in Buffalo Grove. So, Sylvie, say it with me. We're going, back. Binnie's.
We're going, back to Binnie's.
I'll be there. I didn't know you guys were going there. I'll be there, but
okay,
Waddle, I got to talk to Waddle because I owe you guys a pizza.
Why? Why do you owe us a pizza, Tom?
I called you guys back on Thursday, April 1st of this year to talk about the Cubs series, or the Cubs season series against the Reds season series.
Okay.
And I bet you on the air that the Cubs would have a better in-season record against the Cincinnati Reds. And we ended up losing that. We ended up losing it across the games, 11-6. So you
yes,
guys
you
beat
did.
Us 11-6.
As expected.
I had high hopes in the Cubs. We lost. But I got to say, I owe you a pizza. So let me know where you want that pizza from, and I'll make sure that.
What happened? That wasn't me. I'm not
allowed to touch the button, so it wasn't me.
April Fools.
He sounded like he was
just
from
gave
Cincinnati.
You an April Fools. All right, Black.
Speaking of soup, I'll leave you guys with this.
Yeah.
A cereal a soup?
No, hell no.
Cereal a soup?
Chili is not a soup.
I never said chili is soup, but a cereal a soup?
No.
No.
Think about it. You got stuff in soup.
I thought about it.
In a liquid.
It. Nope.
You got cereal in a liquid. Don't tell me because it's cold, because there's gazpacho soup. Gazpacho soup is cold.
It's cereal.
It's in the same consistency as soup.
Not if you eat it dry.
Well, that's different. Once you put it in the
bowl,
when does cereal become soup?
It doesn't
ever.
When
it gets in the bowl?
Never.
When you put it in the bowl?
Never.
Or is it after it's in the bowl for a little bit?
Never.
All right, you know what to do tomorrow at 2 o'clock. We're going back to Beanies. See us there. Black and Abdallah, thank you guys. They're up in 2 short minutes. Charles Barkley, Jeff Garland, Michael Wilbon, thank you. That's a reason to check out the ESPN Chicago app, download that pod, and a new Crosstalk Unhinged as well. For Waddle, I'm Sylvie. It's ESPN 1000. Have yourself a great Thursday night. It is Thursday, right?